This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome on in. It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494 to hop aboard. Kyle Quinn behind the glass. You guys with us one day after the start of the new league year. We had a great time yesterday. I want to thank everyone that came out to McGurk's in Royersford, as we were told yesterday.
Royersford. Y'all been saying it wrong and people got mad.
Yeah, but that's all right. We enjoyed our time. Thank you to everyone coming out.
Thank you.
It was a fun day. Now, the Eagles didn't do much. They did let Darius Slay go, which we thought was coming. He goes to the Steelers. And they did acquire later in the day an offensive player. Good morning, Hugh Douglas.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Philadelphia. Allow me this moment. I really don't have any words of wisdom to drop, but I just want to tell people how dedicated I am to this show and to you two guys.
Wow. Okay, here we go.
Some news dropped last night that really had me, you know, really debating on whether or not I was going to come to work today. Like, seriously, all jokes aside. Mm. So, Don Robinson, the singer for En Vogue, and if you don't know En Vogue, back in the day, they dropped a video called Hold On To Your Love that changed a lot of black young men's lives back in the day. She posted a video yesterday, and she said that she's homeless. She's living in her car by choice. And I went in my closet, and I was about to dust off my cape, and I was going to fly to Vegas because I was going to save her. There is no way on God's green earth that Dawn Robinson should be living in her car. But then as soon as I was about to jump in my truck and head to the airport, the news came out that A.J. Dillon was picked up by the Eagles. And I said, you know what? As much as I would love to go save Don, my people need me because they're going to need to understand what has transpired over these 24 hours.
So you were going to be hero either way.
No, because if I was going to go save Don. But
hero
I said,
heel?
You guys, I love you so much that I had to be here to support my Philadelphia Eagles fan base.
All right, well, now that
so
you...
So I sacrificed.
Okay, you sacrificed. And we're sacrificing defensive players left and right, all right, for another offensive guy. Now, the A.J. Dillon thing, I actually think it's a cool signing. I thought it was a promising start to his career. He'll come in here, compete to be the second back, hopefully stays healthy. He's had a lot of neck injuries. But, Hugh, I know it wasn't lost on you as you joke around there that they let all the defensive players go, and
I'm not going to harp on
and when the first player they sign happens to be on the offensive side of the football with A.J. Dillon yesterday. so something really hit me yesterday, Hugh.
And what hit you?
Well, sometimes you ever have something obvious eventually.
It like hit you like a ton of bricks?
A ton of bricks.
You mean kind of like what I was trying to tell you like 2 years ago?
No, never mind. It's not about you being right. It's about the Eagles being wrong. You're missing the point, okay? Or the Eagles at least potentially being wrong. We shall see as the next couple years play out. But here's what hit me yesterday. So we're doing the Burris Town Hall, and you kind of start lining up who they've let go, who they retained, and where all the resources are. And for the first time in a very long time, I think we can all say this together. I know we've disagreed a lot recently on the Eagles' moves, but we can all say this. The Eagles, for the first time in a long time, seem to have more monetary constraints, right? It's not just they can get over they want. They've got cap concerns now for the first time in a long time. And when you look at why, it's because they've already spent the money. They've allocated a lot of money into not just this year, but in future years. And Hugh, it's pretty obvious to me, and anyone that can pull up Over the Cap or any of these sites that list the salaries for players and where they're spending their money, Hugh, this will not surprise you, and you'll be delighted to hear it, that the Eagles for next season have $133 million committed to the offense, only $74 million to the defense. 8 of their first 9 cap hits, top 9 cap hits, are on the offense side of the football. Yeah. 9 of their top 11. So, Hugh, this is what hit me like a ton of bricks yesterday. As we watch offensive players get new contracts the last couple of years, and defensive players that they probably want to keep, they're saying goodbye to. The Eagles have spent too much money. They've allocated too many resources. They've poured too much money into the offense here. It's come to the point where I think they have too much money on the offensive side of the football, and it's now costing them good defensive players. 215-592-9494. Have the Eagles spent too much? Have they allocated too much to the offensive side of the football? As I view this, as they're losing players on defense and they've got all the money wrapped up in offense, I think they have too much tied up on that side of the football. Hugh Douglas, you know, I caution myself, but what do you think about this?
First of all, I am not going to do what people expect me to do in a situation like this. I'm gonna handle myself with some decorum and some dignity. I'm not gonna act like, you know, I tried to tell y'all this like 2 years ago. I'm not gonna do that.
Okay.
What I'm gonna say is this. I mean, because this is simple math. When you look at the defensive side of the ball and the guys that they let go. You know, we can make an argument about snap counts and how much they played and all this other stuff. They're expendable, and they've shown you that with the number of plays that they've played and all this other stuff. The bottom line is this. They have found a winning formula for their quarterback and his skill set, regardless of, you know, what you feel about his numbers and everything like that. They're leaning into that. And for everybody that's worried about the Super Bowl run from last year and the way that we won, I can't think of any NFL team that has won a Super Bowl that has won it the same way 2 years in a row. You have to evolve and you have to change. Think about it like that, people. I know it's hard to do because we're in the moment and we see all these players leaving. And I get your text and I see the emails and text messages and stuff. This is not easy to do, and you have to evolve and change. And you know what? To be honest, when I saw the pickup of A.J. Dillon, And I thought about this offense. I thought about how it can evolve. Now, he's been hurt, and they're taking a flyer on a guy who's been oft hurt. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you talk about 18 touchdowns, when he's out there and he's healthy, and you talk about the ability to put him in there with Saquon and have a change of pace back with Will Shipley, and you know, for whatever reason – When you change your running back in a game, if you're going into a game and you're game planning for one guy and another guy comes in and they call it a change of pace back, for whatever reason, that's hard to defend for a defender because you're used to practicing for one type of runner, and when that runner changes, it throws your defense in a tizzy. Sure. So what the Eagles have done inadvertently, they've made their offense harder to defend because when I look at A.J. Dillon being back there, if he plays 15 or 20 snaps a game, those are 15 or 20 snaps that you have to know where he is. And if they by any chance put him and Saquon in the backfield at the same time and have Jalen back there as well, that's hell for a defense because that's a matchup problem. So that's what they just leaned into. Their offense, and they've given their quarterback, their Super Bowl MVP champion quarterback, they've given him another weapon.
Well, they have, and that was the first move they made when the new league started was to release Slay officially and to go get an A.J. Dillon. Well, hopefully he can stay healthy and help this team. That signing is cool to me. I think it's a fun signing to add to the backfield. But what's hit me the last couple days is it's come to a head now. Like the last few years, Hugh, to your credit, you saw this coming. You saw the tea leaves. You read them. But what was different until now was it didn't seem to stop them if they wanted a defensive player, right? Like if they wanted to go get Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, they wanted to bring him back last year, right? They brought him back. They had the money to acquire defensive players if they wanted them. Now it feels like because of all the commitments they made to offense, they're saying goodbye to guys that I don't even know if they want to actually say goodbye to. But the reality is they don't have money left.
Well, look at it like this: when you talk about this defense, and you talk about some of the guys that we let go, save Milt Williams, because you know somebody, you're going to tell me, like, I know that there's going to, not you, but I'm just saying, people are going to say he played a lot of snaps. But when you look at defensive players in this day and age compared to offensive players, they're rotational guys. Never was like that when I played, you know. And I, you know, hate to go back in the time machine and talk about back in my day, but 60 snaps a game was that was what I did.
Yep.
That's how I played. Didn't come off the field. Only time I came off the field was when it was definite goal line situations. You get paid for that. Just like Jalen Carter this year, everybody's marveling at the fact that he's playing 80 snaps a game because he's that guy. Like, I can't say it to you any simpler than that, and they've identified him. He is the most important guy on the field because he's always on the field. Everybody else is interchangeable. No disrespect to Brandon Graham, but we've talked about this. Brandon likes to point out the fact that, oh, man, if you would have been in this NFL, you probably could have played longer because they take care of you. You're only playing 30 snaps a game. Think about that. Josh Sweat, 30 snaps a game. Milton Williams, probably 40 or 50 snaps a game. Jordan Davis, 12, 15 snaps a game. Like, they're getting paid good money for being rotational players, but your money is allocated to the offensive side of the ball because they never come off the field. Your offensive line gets paid because they never come off the field.
Yeah, I mean,
Lane Johnson plays every snap.
The lineman, quarterback, and the two receivers durability, play probably 90 to 100%
durability,
of snaps.
Durability is a huge factor in the NFL, and that's why the money is allocated to the offensive side of the ball.
I understand that. So here's my point on this. And 215-592-9494, I want to play for you in a second something interesting Joe Banner said on the morning show today. Hugh, sometimes fans have, like, I want it this way, I want it that way. You know what I want? I want what works. That's all I want. So if the Eagles' offense last year was number one in the NFL in every category, and their defense was 11th, 12th, 13th, then I'd be fine with this because they're getting their money's worth on the offense. That's carrying the team. What is striking to me is their defense was the best in the NFL, and they're using that as, like, replaceable parts. The offense, for all the money they poured into it, and I know they were at their best in the title game in Super Bowl. So if you want to call and tell me they scored 1,000,000 points in the title game in Super Bowl, I know. We all watched it. They played their best in the biggest two games. Great. But for the whole season, that wasn't who they were. They were 11th in yards per play. They were 7th in points per game. Like, if that's who they are, they're paying too much for this offense. Now, if the offense can be great all year, then the strategy, Hugh, that you've talked about and they're doing, I think, is fine. But this offense better be top five, better be top three, because that's where all the money is.
What if I told you, and I know it's hard for people to see, but again, I think it has to be mentioned every time we talk about this defense and what they were able to accomplish. That doesn't normally happen in a one-year setting,
right,
the way that they played.
Yep.
And the fact that it came together the way that it did. I think there's some factors, some intangibles in that, why it happened that way, that we don't know about. And I think one of them is the developmental plan that they have with Connor Barwin. I think Connor Barwin, that's a guy who has been here, has played the game, who a lot of people don't hear his name a whole lot, but he's a part of player development and helping players transition to NFL players. I think that's huge. I think that's why the Eagles have leaned into these young guys, playing these young guys more.
I think you're right. And look, it worked last year. Maybe, and it might work again, and that's the plan. And they're going to draft a lot of these guys and hope they're going to play. I just feel like they've gone too far with it. Like, if they hadn't paid one or two of these offensive guys, and to be clear, I'm not talking about Jalen. He's the quarterback. If you believe in him, you're going to have to pay him. But the Eagles have expensive players now, as of this conversation, like in this moment, double-digit millions per year or decking contracts at quarterback, running back, two wide receivers, tight end. We'll see what happens with Goddard. Left tackle, right, left guard, center. Eventually, I think this offseason they'll pay Juergens. And right tackle. Meanwhile, we could barely find pennies to pay a defensive player. I mean, to me, they've gone too far. 215-592-9494. Joe Banner on this morning with the morning show talking about the Eagles.
Joe Banner.
He was. And listen, talking about the cap situation, what they can do, what they can't do at this point.
You're seeing right now they have to make some choices that they probably would prefer not to, and lose some people that were still in a position that could have helped them. And going forward, it loosens back up, not all the way to where they were. It's mainly driven by the fact that they've taken the approach that they're going to always push forward cap charges, so take the lower charge now and the higher charge later, which dramatically increases your chance of having to take what in the league we would call miscellaneous charges, which is charges left for players no longer in your team.
Mm-hmm.
So as you take the risk of that, there is some price to pay. So, you know, this year the Eagles have almost $50 million in miscellaneous charges. So the league is basically working around. They got off here at $280 million cap. the Eagles really only have $230 million to spend. That's the reason that you're seeing them need to leave. Let some players go that they'd prefer to keep.
Players that they'd prefer to keep that they're letting go. And why is that? Well, it's probably for a few reasons, salary cap-wise, but one of the biggest, they've allocated all the money to the offense.
All the resources.
215-592-9494. Have the Eagles put too much money? Have they tied too much money up on the offensive side of the football based on the results last year? 11th in yards per play, 7th in points per game. They better be better than that with all these defections on defense. Kyle, where do you come down? As you know, it's funny, this morning we get, he's not saying I told you so, but like I told you so, Douglas.
He's hovering. You should have seen him in the meeting. He was giggling. I'm not even going to say anything.
I'm not hovering.
Yo, you're here.
I don't have to. I feel vindicated.
Well, you shouldn't, because you're going to be proven wrong when this defense takes a step back next season and the Eagles aren't as good because of it.
Well, I'm of the mindset that they might take a step back, but I still think the Eagles are going to be good. Mm-hmm. I do, because I think that, and I understand. See, Kyle. This is where I understand and I respect where you're coming from, but here's the thing. They're going to be a matchup nightmare for just look at our division. They're going to be a matchup nightmare for everyone in our division.
They might be.
But let me tell you what they've just done. And I don't know what A.J. Dillon is going to bring to the table, but he is a guy. Like, I didn't know what Saquon was going to bring to the table.
Well, okay, hold on. Can I just bring a dose of reality here to the A.J. Dillon thing?
Let me finish. Let me finish before you jump all over me.
Well, Joe asked me, so.
Well, it's because this is all the unknown, but I'm looking at it from a positive perspective.
Mm-hmm.
He adds another layer to your running game.
Well, he might.
If he's healthy. Yeah.
I mean, I could say the same thing about Saquon Barkley last year.
No, but hold on. Saquon Barkley is a much more talented, much more proven player than A.J. freaking Dillon, who, by the way, is coming off a season-ending neck injury last year.
Do you know what I remember? I'll let you finish. I'm sorry. You got it.
A.J. Dillon could range anywhere from LeGarrette Blount in 2017 to Rashad freaking Penny, okay? We don't know what A.J. Dillon is. I understand we want to be excited about what A.J. Dillon might add to this offense. First of all, we have a new and unproven offensive coordinator who I don't know if he's going to know how to use A.J. Dillon and Saquon in the backfield at the same time. We never have two running backs in the backfield at the same time. Like, these are not things that the Eagles do, so I don't just assume that all of a sudden we have this new awesome dimension to the offense.
You got to have vision.
So it's an unknown at this point what the offense is. I'm bracing myself for the defense to take a step back next season. And I'm not sure that the offense is ready to pick up the slack. They weren't last season. Like the Eagles were 29th in passing yards per game last year. And I understand that they had a great running game, but I don't just go into next season knowing how many times we gave Saquon Barkley the freaking ball that we're going to be able to replicate that. So, like, I just have a little bit of trepidation that the offense is going to be able to make up for what we lack on the defense. And let's be honest about what the defense is next year. They have holes now. They lost their starting corner. They lost their starting safety. They lost an edge rusher. And they lost a guy who took the second most defensive tackle snaps of anyone on the team. Like, and they lost the guy who was supposed to replace the number one corner in Isaiah Rodgers. Like, they have holes right now. So barring another big move to salvage this offseason on the defense, I feel like what you said, the Eagles are going to be good, and that's fine. But I don't want to just be good. I want to go back and win the Super Bowl again.
What if good is enough to get you to the Super Bowl?
It's not going to be.
Let me tell you what
we don't know. And I'm going to tell you from a perspective from a Giants fan, because last year we had that whole thing. We went halfway, you know, the halfway mark between Philadelphia and New York, and we had this little kumbaya moment. And I remember Giants fans telling me to a man that we weren't going to get that much for Saquon Barkley. We weren't going to get that a lot out of him because he was hurt all the time. He wasn't that guy.
I
know what you're saying, but I'm trying to draw a parallel to what you're saying and what the Giants fans were saying when we got Saquon Barkley, what they were telling me. And they were like, well, you know, he's going to be hurt and you guys are going to regret it and all this other stuff. It's kind of the same thing we're saying about A.J. Dillon.
Yeah, but A.J. Dillon, but
we have to stop at the A.J. Dillon.
A.J. Dillon just missed the full season.
Let me finish. All I'm saying is this. We don't know what he's going to bring to the table.
Okay,
I'm not trying to say he's going to be the second coming of Saquon Barkley, but if he gives us more then if he gives us 15 snaps a game, that's more than
but
we have.
But that's what Kenny Gainwell gave us.
I got you. But he may be good.
What if I say he's a better runner than Kenny Gainwell?
Well, he might be.
A bigger back. We don't know.
But the issue,
he's a scrap heap running back on a 1-year deal.
Okay,
we have to stop
this.
What
if I tell you that the change of pace back means something? Because that, like, I understand. Listen. I understand that what I'm telling you is hard for people to grasp. I get that, and I'm not trying to change your mind, but what I'm trying to tell you is this. It's not always the glass half empty. It's not
always the glass half full either.
And then on the defensive side of the ball, Kyle, there's opportunity there for some other young guys to shine.
So you're right about those things. It could have happened that way. My issue is strategically. It's not like A.J. Dillon can't play. I liked him when he was young. Before the neck injury, he looked like he was going to be a LeGarrette Blount kind of running back. I'm cool
with
that.
And if you get half of that, that's still good.
My issue is that they are now losing players that, as Joe Banner said, they may want to keep because they've decided to pour all the money into the offense. And I'm sure a caller is going to say, Joe, they just won the Super Bowl. But can I also point out they won the Super Bowl, and that part of the team, the one they paid all the money to, that was the secondary part. The best part of their team last year was the one that they view as replaceable parts. And I'm like, wait a second. I get it. I understand the strategy. But if I knew this offense was going to be top two or three or four, then I'm okay with it because then it's worth the money. Last year, they were 7th or 11th, depending on where you look for your ranking. That, to me, is you're paying a lot for good, not great, and now you're taking the great and you're dismantling it because you got to keep the good. 215-592-9494. Let's get a call here, and then we'll get to everyone today. We got a lot to do. I just feel yesterday hit me like a ton of bricks. They are pouring too much of their cap room into the offense, and now we got to deal with whatever we get left on defense. Troy is in Philadelphia. Hey, Troy.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
What's up, Troy?
Hey, it's the beginning of the year. I think we put too much energy in the what-ifs, what-could-ifs. Look, last year, you know who was top number one as far as spending money on offense? Browns. You know where they went at? They wasn't in the championship. You know who's next? The Rams. You have Browns, Rams, Chiefs, Cowboys, Falcons, Giants, Colts, 49ers, Panthers, and Bengals that paid the most for their offense. Yeah, the Eagles paid, they were 20th for offensive pay. Okay, yeah, you want to look at the analytics as far as the numbers, and they need to be number one. No, we just need to be in a position to win games.
Well, no, but Troy, they were able to win those games last year with the way the offense was, which was good, not great, because they had the best defense. If the Eagles didn't have the top defense last year, the offense that we saw would not have been good enough to win 14 games.
You got to look at the scores, though, okay, because, yeah, I'm not taking nothing away from the defense. Okay, but yeah, the offense put up scores. And yeah, we had a good defense and we had good players, but it was the coaches that put the schemes in and made the players in a position to play the way they play. Them guys that we lost, they made money. They got money. Okay, and how we see the future? We wasn't going to pay Milton $108 million.
Because we can't, Troy. No, you're making it sound like they wouldn't want to. They can't.
No, we would want to, but you got to look at the future. You can't spend money now and put all your eggs in one basket then look 2 or 3 years now and now we rebuild
I understand that.
Money.
Troy, I understand that. But
why?
Hold on. I just want to ask you why. Now, if you and I agree that they probably if they had the money, they would have paid Milton. He's 26 years old, good player. They drafted him, all that. They couldn't. You're right, because they looked down the line. Why? Because they've poured all the money into the offense.
No, they didn't.
Yes, they did.
When you look at the rank, and they only 21.
No. But you're looking at last year. I'm looking forward. They don't have any more money to spend on defense because they've poured it all into the offense.
No, you can't say they did that because
they have.
Because Howie is a guru. Howie can manipulate and make moves.
Howie just traded a two-time Super Bowl safety because he can't afford him anymore.
No, what? What are you talking about, CJ?
Yes.
I'm gonna tell you why he did that, and everybody can be blind to the fact because he didn't his dominion did not match our culture.
Oh, okay.
He's a good player.
You heard.
Okay.
Did it match the culture last year? Listen to me.
He's a good player. Okay. But when his demeanor start messing with how the organization is built outside and off the field, yo, you got to do something about that. You're not going to let somebody come in your house.
They brought him in here twice.
Okay. They brought him in twice and he played his part. I'm not taking nothing away from him.
Okay? But hold on. They didn't wake up yesterday and realize who CJ GJ is, Troy. What changed? His demeanor didn't change. He's a goofball. Troy, I appreciate your phone call. CJ's been a goofball since he came out of Florida.
Yeah.
He's a good player. He's a goofball, right? The Eagles knew that in 2022 when they traded for him. They knew it last year when they brought him back. Why are we making this so hard? He's not here. Now, there might be five factors, but one of them is clearly they have money issues, and part of the reason they have money issues is they've allocated all the money to offense. Let's come back. 215.
This is going
to
be a good day.
It's going to be a wild day. 215-592-9494. So either we're going to get honesty or coping today. It feels like one of the two. We'll see where we're at. Have the Eagles?
I have a guess.
Have the Eagles poured too much into the offense? I think they clearly have, and it's now affecting who they could keep on defense. Your calls there. Plus, we have a prize to give away. We'll give you a clue for how you could win that next. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP. And let's talk about my friends over at FanDuel. We'll talk about them in just a minute, Kyle, on the other side.
94 WIP breaking news.
Score one for our side, Kyle. The Eagles have signed a defensive player.
Maybe you guys are petty.
Maybe they're listening to this show this morning. All right, sounds like, according to Adam Schefter, the Philadelphia Eagles are signing Josh Uche, pass rusher, a rotational edge, who played half of last season with the Kansas City Chiefs after being traded from the Patriots. He was drafted by the Patriots in 2020. Seems like kind of an up-and-down career. Three of his 4 years, he's had not that many sacks, a few here and there. 1 year, 2022, he did have 11.5 last year.
Yeah,
Hugh, last year he played about 35% of the snaps in New England, 22 when he went to Kansas City. So he's a 2020 draft pick, so obviously still a relatively young guy. And according to Adam Schefter, adding him in to help replace Josh Sweat and Brandon Graham on the edge. Hugh, we got a defensive guy.
I'm happy
now
for you guys.
We're talking.
Man. I didn't know we were in silos like this, but that's
cool. That's your fault. Look, is it
congratulations?
Is it a needle mover? We'll see. Probably not. But he is a young player. Probably with some upside there, and they think he could add to the rotation at edge, which they needed. I mean, Hugh, they were thin there now, right? After Sweat left, BG could be, you know, heads retirement. We'll see. But it did seem like they were just thin, right? You have Nolan, you have Jalix Hunt, but they needed to add.
Needed to do something. Yeah, that's a good signing, man. You know, get some guys because when I think of guys that they've signed. Honestly, I think, a smart guy that they can come in and can learn the defense fairly quickly and be a contributor right away. Yeah.
1 year deal. And now, again, you could take that one of two ways. One, that's like, well, it's not much. It's 1 year deal. We'll see. But last year, Zach Bond was a 1 year deal. I mean, once in a while, you hit on a 1 year deal and it becomes a longer term thing. So Josh Uche on his way to the Philadelphia Eagles to be part of their team next season on the edge. 215-592-9494. I'm not going to anticipate this is for much money because that's not what the Eagles are doing this offseason. They have a plan, and that is to have compensatory draft picks, a lot of draft picks into the future, and they've already poured their money into the offensive side. The question is, have they poured too much of their money into the offensive side of the football? I believe they have. One of the reasons why CJ GJ isn't here is because they didn't seem like they had the money to pay him or didn't want to pay him into the, not just this year, but the future. Emmanuel Acho spoke on that. Can we hear from Emmanuel talking about the loss of CJ GJ for this defense?
It's not a coincidence. Chauncey there, Eagles go to the Super Bowl, Eagles defense is stout. Yeah. Chauncey goes to Detroit. Detroit has the best year of their career. Chauncey comes back to Philadelphia. So, Eagles win their second Super Bowl in the history of the franchise. Gigantic loss.
They like that.
I got to be worried about the Eagles defensively right now.
He's talking facts there. Straight facts. Is he wrong about the Eagles last few years, Detroit with CJ GJ? Where the guy goes, winning follows. Is that inaccurate, Hugh?
I mean, I could draw a direct correlation that he probably would like be relatable to by saying something, but I'm gonna try to make it as clean as possible. You know, like when you talk about like peanut butter skin, like when you date certain people, you could date somebody and enjoy dating them, you know.
Yeah.
But you don't want to marry them.
You might not. You could have dated for one more year. If it wasn't for the monetary issues.
Yeah, you know what I mean. And I'm not trying to disparage CJ, but there's something there to be the individual that moves the meter that way, and can't find a steady home or find a steady dancing partner,
yeah,
if you will?
I think it's fair to bring up that that's part of CJGJ's career. I also think it's us coping a little bit. They lost him, and Elliot said it to us that first day. They have a lot of commitments next year and the year after that on the offensive side of the ball. They have cap issues, and they're making tough decisions. Like,
yeah.
I think we're spinning this as he wasn't that good, when obviously he's a good player.
I'm definitely not doing that.
No, not just you. Just in general, I've heard a lot of, well, he's not that good. Well all right.
I look at it more like
picks
this.
In 2 years here.
I look at it more like this. And I said this the other day. I said that they probably were having cap issues, and they were probably looking for places to trim the fat.
Yeah.
And
by him
speaking up and asking for more money, he made himself expendable. I think that's what happened. Because even when he said his farewell to the fans, he mentioned something to the fact that, hey, you got to pay all the young guys. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
So that, to me, says that somewhere along the lines of him being traded, he asked for some more money.
You may be right.
And they told him no.
Because they've already allocated so much to one side.
To one side, yeah, of the ball. And he made himself expendable. I think that, to your point, I think that they were willing. They would have went into the season with CJGJ, but there was a host of things that probably happened that put them in a position where it made that numbers crunching decision a lot easier.
And in the past, this is not new. The Eagles have been paying the offensive players for a few years. It didn't seem like till now, though, there was ever a real cap issue. If they wanted to keep someone, if they wanted a player, they got him. We always heard Howie season, he moves money around. This is the first offseason in a long time. Feels like it's coming to a head where they've put all the resources on the offense, and now we're going to be cheaper on defense. 215-592-9494. Have the Eagles allocated too much money to the offensive side of the football? Let's go to Jeff in Wilmington. Hey, Jeff.
It's an offensive league, Joe, and that's the way it's been for the last 15 years or so. Of course all the money's going to go. And Hugh talked about it in the very beginning of the show when he said those offensive guys play nearly every snap, save for maybe a wide receiver or the running back. The defensive guys, why would you pay so many defensive guys who are only going to get 50% of the snaps in a game? Like, that doesn't add up to me mathematically. Like, that wouldn't be smart to pay. You might have one guy or two guys, but you're not going to be paying these rotational guys the same money that a full-time starter would get. It just doesn't add up.
So let me ask you this, Jeff. Do you think if the Eagles had 50 extra million in cap room around, they would have let Milton Williams walk away? I don't believe they would have.
You know, I don't know, but I didn't even know Milton Williams was on the team until this year. I'm just saying. He came out of, he basically had his year.
But he also had his year at 25 years old. Like, Milton Williams is...
And he was a developmental player.
Yeah,
they developed.
He's
yeah.
the exact kind exactly. of player the Eagles would want to sign if they had money.
And all those guys deserve to go get paid
sure.
by a team that looks for something like that.
Sure.
And every one of those other teams did not win the Super Bowl. And also, I don't care what Joe Banner says, because if he would have kept some of those 30-year-olds when Hugh and those guys were playing, maybe we would have won a Super Bowl instead of getting rid of some of those guys that still
maybe.
Had good play left in them.
Maybe. Jeff, that's fair, but let's also not discredit. He does know what he's talking about when he looks at a cap sheet. Like, that was his job.
Oh, yeah, when he looks at the money, yeah,
yeah.
sure.
Well, also, and to be fair, and I know the Dawkins thing blew up on them and the T.O. thing blew up. They also were right about a lot of those guys. Like, we have this, we've painted it as every player they let go because they were old kept playing well.
Look at Hugh and Jackson.
I mean, I didn't want to say
it. I knew
it,
I was going to care.
They
like,
were
listen,
right.
It was just a matter of time before I caught that stray.
Did she do anything for
us? They were right about Hugh.
I'm going to say.
I believe the Eagles believe that their defensive coordinator and their coaching staff can coach these guys up as they've already proven this year. Now, there was a lot of guys that were iffy when the beginning of the season. We didn't know what they were going to be. We didn't know what their defense was going to do. They were last in the league the year before. And somehow they were able to coach them up, put them in positions. And I believe their philosophy is going forward is to keep getting these younger guys in here and pay some of these dudes that are rotational guys what they actually deserve as opposed to overpaying for something that they don't need.
I think you're right. I mean, I think now we all can be in agreement. This is the plan now, right? They've poured all the money in offense, and they're going to just recycle most of the defensive players and maybe keep, two or three of them as we move forward. I think that's it.
take that victory lap for you, like I said the other day.
Hold on.
I am a team player, and I know that it grinds their gears.
Hold on. The victory lap only works if this works. Otherwise, it doesn't work. Like, what I'm hearing is the equivalent of saying, you know what? Let's buy that third car, and if we don't have the roof, let's just hope it doesn't rain. I mean, like Hugh, you look right because it's sunny outside today. Once the rain comes I'm going to say, we didn't need that third car,
Hugh. Because I look at it like this. I've been preaching this sermon for 3 years, since I've been here. And there was a time where my congregation, they went astray.
Mm.
But they're coming home now. They're coming home because they're starting to see the light.
But like
Reverend Douglas has sat here on this pulpit and preached to a flock that was wavering at one point.
But you took a massive L with the Eagles defense this season.
No, I didn't.
But yes, you did. You know it was a colossal L.
I took both years.
I thought you were going to be down and out.
You know why y'all feel like I took an L? Because y'all feel vindicated in the moment.
Well, we should. Just like you are right now.
No, because Kyle, my point still stands.
Mm.
They looked at that defense as well as that. Put it like this, Kyle. I'm going to keep it, because I like to keep it simple. I don't like to keep it complicated. But look at it like this. As good as that defense played last year, and the fact that that defense led the way, they were willing to let all them cats go.
But you keep referring back to how they feel. I'm looking at what may end up being right or wrong.
Okay, but Kyle, in this situation, when I say how they feel, who has more information about their team, or them?
Hold on, Hugh. They had more information about Bryce Huff. They had more information about Devin White.
I'll give you that outlier, but again,
But hold on.
Vic Fangio, listen, Kyle, for a minute. Vic Fangio is being praised in this city as the architect of the number one defense in the league last year, right? Vic Fangio sits in those meetings, correct, when they make these decisions. And Vic Fangio has to, on some level, be cool with the decision that's being made his number one defense.
I understand that, but Vic Fangio has been wrong before. Fangio's had middle-of-the-pack, two bad defenses before. That's all I care about.
Okay, in this situation right here that we're talking about, who has more information, you or Vic Fangio?
My mic just fell off. I don't care. I'm just worried about what ends up being right.
So you answer my question. So Vic Fangio has more
information. Sure, but that doesn't matter.
Information is power.
But Hugh, it might not be. We don't know if they're right.
What do you mean it might not be?
But this strategy
because he might be wrong.
Any strategy you do might backfire.
But that's the discussion.
Sure. It's a strategy that you have to believe in. You know what the Eagles believe in right now? They believe in their coaching staff and their ability to coach players up, which they showed to.
But if we just deferred to what they thought all the time, then there wouldn't even be a discussion.
In a 1 year sampling size.
That's a very small sample size.
Okay, but that's what we're. But the fact that you're going on the same sample size that I'm going on, and you're saying it's wrong.
I'm going on his whole career, actually.
No, you're going on a small sample size, the same way that I'm going. I just refer back to the bad defenses he's had.
Time out. I got a question.
Yes.
Well, two things. One, we have to tell everyone about the prize we're giving away today.
What prize?
Tell you about that in a second. But so our last caller brought something up. Hugh, you have seen this in the NFL for a few years and have tried to tell us. But I have a question. If everyone's doing the same thing, it's not going to work for everyone. And my point is this, right? It does seem like most teams, you used the Bengals as an example recently, right? They're pouring all the money into the offense, okay? Eagles are pouring all the money into the offense. If every team pours all their money into the offense, there's only going to be five top five offenses, right? This is not going to work for someone. Someone's going to pour 70% of their cap space into offense, and they're going to end up, and I'm not saying it's the Eagles, but someone, it's just the math, is going to end up with the 12th best offense, even though they put all the money in.
Yeah, and guess who more than likely that's going to be? It's probably going to be the Bengals.
Maybe, but the point is,
maybe it's the Buffalo Bills.
If everyone's doing the same strategy, someone's going to come up looking dumb. It's because not everyone could be a top five offense. There's only five of those.
Let me tell you how the NFL is going in a nutshell. It's easier to find defensive players and plug them into your system than it is to find a quarterback.
I'm with you. But to me, it's like a scale, right? And the way I view it is, it feels like they've tipped the scale too far. I actually, the more that the last 2 weeks have gone on, I see your point. But now I'm looking at the scale and it's like the offense is weighed all the way at the bottom and I got this defense hanging in the air by a thread.
But one thing, I think you're not seeing is that every team that we're talking about that you're talking about, they're rolling these dice. They're shaking these dice, right?
Yeah.
They're banking on their quarterback to be that guy.
Sure, because
right?
that's the
hardest position to find, Joe. That's why when I dropped that gem on y'all a few years ago, defense is not a luxury, not a necessity. The reason why I dropped that is because, and see, this is what got lost in translation. You pay your $250 million quarterback to go out there and make plays for you. That's what every team that we're talking about, the Cincinnati Bengals,
the Bills, the Chiefs, all of them, yeah.
They have sunk all their money into their quarterback because they know that if you got that guy, I don't care what it looks like, because we always get caught up in numbers. The one thing I know about Jalen is this. Regardless of how he got there, he got the two Super Bowls. He got the two of them. One of them. That's not easy to do.
I agreed. And this is beyond just a Jalen thing, right?
But it is. It's all about Jalen.
I know it is. And he's the most money on the offense.
He's the most. Like, he is the absolute most important player on that squad.
I just want to make it clear. When I'm saying what I'm saying, I'm not only speaking on Jalen. Mm-hmm. I think they've poured too much in the whole offense. I'll just say it this way. Do we need two $30 million a year wide receivers?
Let me
we're
going to
run the ball, all this?
Let me tell you why they did that.
I don't think we do.
Let me tell you why they did that, Joe. Because, okay, I'm going to use Josh Allen as an example because that's the name that has been thrown around a whole lot. As a quarterback, physical attributes, as a guy who's been in the league about the same time as Jalen, he's a better athlete than Jalen. I'm going to say it.
Yeah, he's
a better athlete. Yeah. That's not to
argue
with.
I don't even know it's an opinion. That's just your eyes.
Okay,
yeah.
That's okay. But Jalen has an intangible, that unquantifiable intangible, that I don't know what it is, that he wins games. He plays in big games. So there's two ways to build this monster. So the way that the Eagles are building this monster, we know we got a quarterback. He might not be the most talented guy, but damn it, it's something about him, his leadership ability, and all these other intangibles that he brings to the table that wins football games for us. So what we're going to do, we're going to put talent around him.
I get it.
As much talent as we can.
I get it.
That's the difference between the two. Josh Allen is the most talented guy on his team. There might be an argument for Jalen, but they're both key factors to the success of their team.
I'm good
There's
with
not
that.
An argument
I'm,
for
I'm, 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 I'm
to be the most talented player on the team?
That's not up for argument. I mean, I'm not trying to argue that. I'm just saying Jalen finds a way to win.
He does.
That's all I'm saying.
And listen, He may still, but I just wish they had more on the defense and a little less on the offense. I just think they've gone, that the scales have tipped a little too far. It's become pretty obvious this offseason. All right, before we go any further, as we are fired up today here on the Midday Show, we have for everyone out there, it says $94 here. I'm not subscribing to this. A $100 gift card to Sunoco, $100 gas card to Sunoco today on the line. Let's play a little game. Let's call Hughes Clues.
Have you seen my dog, Hugh? He's got a brand new clue. It begins with a tramp stamp. Everybody's looking for Hughes Clues. Come on in, come on in. Hughes Clues. It's Hughes Clues and you.
You know what's funny? I forgot that this was all tied in together. I thought, oh, good job, Joe. Let's give away a gas card. Because I was so intense. Y'all know I give away these great clues every day. What'd you give away, Joe? $100 gift ticket.
$100, yes.
For some gas.
It said 94, but I bumped it up.
Yeah, you bumped it up. Okay, so this is the first clue for this one. This one is a famous car.
That's it?
That's it.
This is
y'all
why.
Look, first of all.
This is why people complain
about
the clues.
But see, because it starts with you. You started, and then people just pile
on. Because I want to guess, and I don't know.
You're a rabble rouser, man.
Famous car is the first clue. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Anthony, Springfield is up. Hey, Anthony.
What's up, John? How you doing?
Hey, Anthony.
Couple things that you said that I completely disagree with.
Okay.
One was, and it's not just you, the whole narrative that we don't need two $30 million receivers because we run the ball. The reason why we run the ball so effectively is because we have A.J. Brown on the outside, who is a one-on-one demon, the best wide receiver at one-on-one in the NFL, and you have Devontae. So safeties can't come up because you don't want to leave those guys one-on-one, as you've seen in the Super Bowl.
I would agree to your point, but in 2021, Sirianni's first year here, I think they were second or third in the league in rushing yards, and they had only Devontae. I think the offensive line in Stoutland is actually the biggest reason.
it's a reason, but the reason why they couldn't stack the box is because they have threats on the outside.
Sure, sure. I understand that.
It all goes together. Secondly, you keep saying that we spent too much money on offense. Am I nuts, or did we just go to the Super Bowl two out of the last 3 years and win 39 games in the past 3 years?
Yes.
How can you say it's too much?
But Anthony, let's look at last year, because they're losing players from last year's defense. They went
Last year's not the norm. How many teams in the league have two top 10 drafted defensive tackles and have a $108 million backup defensive tackle on the team?
Well, not many. But my point is, moving forward, they're already making decisions. I mean, it's clear now. They're letting defensive players go that they don't necessarily want to. They can't afford anymore because they've poured so much money into the offense.
They can't afford.
No, they can't.
Afford the backups because teams in the salary cap.
Anthony, who's a backup? Who's a backup?
Milton Williams is a backup.
No, he's not a backup. Anthony.
Jordan Davis is the starter.
Anthony. I gotta help everyone. Just because Jordan Davis is on the field when they do introductions on NBC, he's not. Anthony, last year.
I agree with you. That's where Howie made the mistake, not to cut you off. Howie should have gave Milton Williams the extension last year
ties
with Jordan Davis.
Anthony, I'm with you, man. It's not even about Milton. It's just they've spent so much on offense, not just now, but moving forward, that we are now going to have it's like the team looks like it's going to be haves and have-nots. The haves are on the offense.
It's always been like that.
Well, no, but it's not. Josh Sweat was not a have-not. Milton Williams is not a have-not. Like, now we're going to have to bargain bin on defense. And we are.
So let me explain another thing, the way Howie's a genius and what he's doing. In 3 years, when Carter's contract comes up, Hughes' contract comes up, Coop's contract, the next contract kicks in. A.J. Brown will be 31 and off the team. Saquon Barkley will be off the team. Lane Johnson's contract will be off the team. That's when he pivots and starts playing the defense.
You may be right, Anthony, may be right, and this may be a moment in time. That moment in time, though, I feel like right now, but my issue is the offense wasn't even great last year. Like, if we had the number one offense,
we scored 36.5 points a game in the playoffs in four games, and that already took off the 7 points from Cooper DeGene.
Anthony,
offense wasn't good.
Because no, and I'd say not good, but they were paying them to be great, and for the majority of this, for the majority of the season, they were a good, not great offense. They had two great games at the end.
But how many of those games were they up by double digits and they weren't pushing the ball downfield?
Because
in the
of the defense, Anthony. If we don't have that defense, it's different. All right, Anthony, we're not going to agree on this. That's okay.
But if the defense wasn't as good, wouldn't the offense have to open up the offense?
Well, yeah, we think. But that's we'll see. Anthony, give us a guess.
We know.
No, we don't.
6.5 points in the playoffs.
No,
we do know.
A small sample. No, just because Trey Turner hit 7 home runs in four games in October 2 years ago doesn't mean he's consistently great. Small samples don't mean that.
But
I'm not paying for 7th. Anthony, you know what? I apologize. We didn't get his guess. Time ran out. Anthony, call back. Give Kyle your guess. I want to give him a chance at a guess. Deep breaths, everyone. 215-592-9494. I'm talking to myself. Yeah, all right, on the other side, your phone calls on this. All right, have the Eagles spent too much on offense? We're not paying defensive players anymore because we're out of money because we poured all the money in offense. Letting you be the GM over here. All right,
on your phone calls,
we'll get to the latest on a big-name player who's available, and the Eagles have at least reportedly checked in on. That's next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Behind every champion is a great night's sleep, and Mattress Warehouse has helped some of the best on the field find their perfect mattress. Do what the pros do. Find your perfect mattress backed by science at the Mattress Warehouse. Others claim they can match you in air quotes, but only Mattress Warehouse offers bed match technology to help you find the right mattress for you. Bed match technology is a one-of-a-kind diagnostic sleep technology developed by some of the world's leading sleep scientists based on decades of research. Only at the Mattress Warehouse. And now during the Mattress Warehouse tax refund sale, we get them tax refunds. You can save up to 60% on every mattress warehouse wide. Don't wait. Do what I did, folks. Find your perfect night's sleep today at the Mattress Warehouse. Shop the entire selection and find the location nearest you at themattresswarehouse.com. That's themattresswarehouse.com.